Blog Talk Radio.
What if we could change our future with a couple pennies? What if we could change our future with a couple pennies? With this economic blueprint. With this economic blueprint. What if we could change our future with a couple pennies? What if we could change our future with a couple pennies? With this economic blueprint. With this economic blueprint. I'm trying to play my part and give a helping hand. Y'all ain't heard the man. Hey yo, he got a plan. Create some more jobs and less in poverty, so we can help ourselves, help the economy. Yo, what you got to lose? Everything to gain. You can say you tried in the fight for change. That's 5 cents a day, 35 cents a week. That's just all they ask. That's just all we need. Yo, I did my part. Why don't you do the same? What do you got to lose? Everything to gain.
You already said that, Shy.
Well, I'ma say it again until you get the point and it start making sense. Cause I got a desire to see my people free. I'm talking all my people, no matter your nationality. So if you rolling with me, then put your hands up. Go ahead and tell a friend so we can stand up. What if we could change our future with a couple pennies? What if we could change our future with a couple pennies? With this economic blueprint. With this economic blueprint. What if we could change our future with a couple pennies? What if we could change our future with a couple pennies? With this economic blueprint. With this economic blueprint. Yo, this is for my children and my children's children, trying to set their future. Yeah, we in the building. Shouts out to FedCon for trying to make it happen. Shouts out to my haters. Ayo, just for asking. Why wouldn't I, when I know I could? I'm just a ghetto boy, straight up out the hood, who trying to feed his family, but they ain't giving jobs. I don't wanna feel like I gotta steal and rob. But with this blueprint, nobody going hungry. Better education, don't it sound lovely? $290 million of gold for the year. And from the pennies in your couch, that's how we getting it. Say we big consumers, let's become producers. On the land of our own, I can hear the roosters. I can see us free, I mean really free. Cause I believe in power, the power of unity. What if we could change our future with a couple pennies? What if we could change our future with a couple pennies? With this economic blueprint. With this economic blueprint. What if we could change our future with a couple pennies? What if we could change our future with a couple pennies? With this economic blueprint. With this economic blueprint.
You have a responsibility now, because this condition is not going to get better. So will you accept the responsibility? As Presidents Thomas Jefferson, Abraham Lincoln said, will we black people accept the guidance of Booker T. Washington, the Honorable Marcus Garvey, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, along with our liberal arts, to help us to develop and grow into independence? If you agree to do this, Almighty God Allah will extend to you His mercy and give you an extension of time. A warning to you.
Troublesome?
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I'm your witness that there is no God but Allah, who came to us in the person of Master Farah Muhammad, and I bear witness that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is indeed his last messenger, and I further bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is all that we need, and he's our leader, teacher, guide, and warner in our midst. And it is my distinct honor, privilege, and pleasure to greet all of you once again in our nation's greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Thank you, dear brothers. And tonight we have such a wonderful, wonderful treat, in my opinion, of course, in my humble opinion, a brother who has served this nation for many, many years, and who has never stopped serving our nation. And many of us have come up listening to our dear brother, and we have learned so much from him. And I just thank Allah for him, and I thank Allah for the wisdom that has been bestowed upon him. And without further delay, I'm going to present our dear brother, because he needs no introduction whatsoever, Brother Jamil Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam, ma'am. How are you this fine Sunday evening?
I am blessed by Allah's grace and permission, and I'm just overjoyed that you have taken time out of your busy schedule to join us this evening and bless us with some of your knowledge and your wisdom and your understanding, as well as your servitude to our nation. So I'm elated. Absolutely.
All praise. I just think it's a good use and a responsible use, and really the appropriate use of the internet, airlines or airwaves, if I would, that you put this program out and other programs on Nation Building Network to actually touch us in our intellect, in our spirit, and cause us to move forward in our own interest. And this is the real reason why we're on the air. So tonight it's really my honor to be with you for these few short minutes tonight.
All praises due to Allah. Thank you, dear brother. And before you go on, Brother Jamil, I want to, of course, present another brother who needs no introduction, and he is the host of our Friday night study group, and he is another long-time servant in our nation and a great helper to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, Student Minister James Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam. And how are you, Sister Queen Aziza Mariam Muhammad, my dear, dear sister? How you doing?
Well,
you sound a lot better.
Due to Allah.
You sound
well,
a lot better.
Well, that's what ginger tea. Ginger tea
all
will do it every time. And I'm going to
excellent.
Lose some of those names so you can stop calling my whole name.
You know, because I love each name. Each has a magnificent and distinctive meaning. And I just love the thing.
Okay. Yes, sir.
And my dear brother, all praise is due to Allah. My dear brother, mentor, friend, our beloved student minister, Jamil Muhammad, one of the finest, let me say, one of the finest orators. While we have many orators, but the speciality of his expression is the insightful expression and in-depth understanding of the words of the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad as they are delivered by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I love to hear my brother preach, and anytime I know that he is doing that, I'm going to be right there in earshot with the help of Allah. So, Brother Jamil.
Yes, sir, brother.
You know I love you, brother.
I love you too, black man. Always have, and I thank Allah for another day for us to be able to stand here on such an occasion, Brother James, because you know, the topic of tonight's program, I'm sure Sister will introduce it formally in just a moment. But, brother, our people need Islam more today than at any time in the past.
Absolutely.
Our condition is more shocking, more abject, more acute, and has been chronic for a longer period of time than at any point in the past. And our people are hurtling down the track toward a collision with a destiny that none of us want. And we must wake up our people by the millions, because it's time now. This is truly the final call, and I wouldn't think of two soldiers that I would be more willing and comforted by your presence at the front line with me, than you, Brother James, and you, Sister Aziza. So I'm very, very happy to be here tonight. Let's get it on. I'm not Michael Buffer, but let's get ready to run. Let's do it.
No, that's right.
Well, you know, and you're right, Brother Jamil. I don't think we can rumble until we have this other brother as well who is very, very knowledgeable, very, very articulate, very, very studious. He is my right-hand man here on Nation Building Network, and Brother Kareem has so graciously agreed to join us tonight. So, of course, Brother Kareem, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, and thank you, Queen Aziza, for allowing me, as always, to be able to serve in this capacity. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Jamil. Assalamu alaikum to Minister James Muhammad. Glad to be here.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Kareem. Yes, sir.
Salam,
sir. Yes, sir. And Brother Jamil, let me say this to you. It's about time. Welcome back.
Well, Brother, I'm gonna tell you like LL Cool. I'm gonna tell you like LL Cool J said. Don't call it a comeback. What is happening, brother? See, time we have, and I love our nation. We are the best, the righteous, and the powerful. But just like any other group of people that are united and striving, and sometimes get busy about our own work, if we don't see you for a minute, we swear you done dropped off the planet somewhere. But no, I'm right here, brother.
Yes, sir.
I'm right here. And, you know, you'd be like Tyrone Davis, you know, thinking about me. When I was out there trying to find, I had
there
it
you
all
go.
The time. I had it all the time.
Go ahead.
So there'll be a need for what we have when we least expect it. When
That's
some
right.
black mother is grieving the loss of her son, there will be Brother James. When some black family is seeking direction on how to move forward as a couple and pay for their bills and raise their children, there'll be Sister Aziza. When they need help solving a problem with street organizations fighting in the streets of St. Louis or Chicago or Detroit, there you'll be, Brother Kareem. And just like that, I've tried to appear wherever I could appear and do whatever I could have done with the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad as brought to me by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So sometimes you may not see me where you used to see me, but I'm like Marcus Garvey, brother. Look for me in the world. I'm around,
hey,
brother. Around.
Yes,
Let's
sir.
Get it in. Get it in.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So as I was trying to put this show together, you know, I don't know. It was something unsettling in my spirit that I just felt the need to not have such a structure and not to be so pre-rehearsed and to really just let Brother Jamil speak from his heart. And then yeah. I was thinking about what is it that Brother Jamil can really come on this show and really talk about? And I reflected on the 58 weeks series that we have been blessed to archive of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And, you know, since it's not on every day now, you know, I think we need to be constantly found studying that and be reminded of that. But now we are aware of the time. And so I was thinking about what must be done because he's given us all of that information. And now what do we do with it? And I have to look as I venture out in society every day of the state of our people, the state of black America, especially after the broadcast we did last night concerning law enforcement and black youth. And I thought of nothing better than for Brother Jamil to expound, to combine those two, what must be done and the state of black America together. So, Brother Jamil, I'm going to let it rip, but I'm going to tell the listening audience, unlike most of the hosts, Brother Jamil is very demanding of audience participation, so he demands your questions. So I just want you to know, press 1 on your dial pad, and please, please ask him questions, because that's what he's here for. He wants to get to the core of your issue. So, Brother Jamil, I'm going to start off like this. I don't have to tell you the state of Black America, but when you look at us, first of all, morally, spiritually, economically, and socially, I want to know, what do you see?
There's an old military acronym that was used in the United States military, the branches of the military, starting around World War II, to describe a state of confusion and dysfunction.
Come on, brother.
And they gave it an acronym called SNAFU. SNAFU, S-N-A-F-U, SNAFU. And what that means is situation is normal, all fouled up, or something like that, brother. The situation is normal in Black America, and what has become normal for our people is all fouled up. We have been spoiled and laid to waste. And I wish that there was a better way for me to say it, and all the levity aside and all of the humor on the edge, let's put that on the side over there. The fact of the matter is that Black America is in a state of crisis, and we must sound the alarm. You often hear me reference back to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in early January of 2011, speaking on CHIS 98.7. The 2nd of January, that Sunday morning in 2011, he was invited to come to the city of Newark, New Jersey, to broker a peace between rival gang factions and to speak to the community about us taking back our streets from criminal elements. And the minister was very direct. He said to them, and this was 3 years ago and some months, he said to them directly, he said, I wish I had better news for you.
Definitely.
But as a people, you and I, Black people, we are in danger of a chastisement from God which will be more horrible than anything we had ever imagined. I'm starting on this point because for us to be frivolous and fly at the mouth and act as if the problems that we have can be solved by congressional policy, government legislation. The problem that we have can't be solved by an act of Congress or an executive order from the White House. The problems that we have go deeper to the very fundament and core of who we are in our relationship to God Almighty. Minister Farrakhan said, Black people have rejected every teacher that God raised up in our midst that would have told us how to do something for ourselves and break free from our slave masters. In fact about it, sister, we chose folly over progress. When we heard the voice of the ministers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad speaking in the various cities around the country, there in Atlanta, Georgia, we heard Minister Abdul Rahman, but we chose to go party in the underground. If we were in New York, we heard Minister Louis Farrakhan, but we chose to party at the Club Cheetah. If we were in Boston, we heard from Minister Don and the ministers there in the great Bean Town, and we heard them, but we chose to go
to the
Sugar Bowl and shake it up. Every one of us who has this responsibility has been met with the cold face of rejection by Black people, and we came to bring you a message to save you. So Minister Farrakhan said, you're so crazy. You have turned on the one that came to rescue you and treated us as if we are the villains. And you openly embrace enemy of 400 years, the devil himself. So now you got a chastisement coming, Minister Farrakhan said. You rejected Noble Drew Ali. Yes, you did. We rejected Marcus Garvey. We rejected Dr. Martin Luther King, who woke up from his dream, by the way, and by the end of his life was teaching and pouring brimstone on the false and hypocritical policies of America. But you and I, we rejected him. We rejected the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. We rejected all of his ministers. I said it before. If you were in San Francisco, you heard Minister John Muhammad, but you chose to go a little further down Fillmore and shake it up at the Boom Boom Room. You heard the ministers in Los Angeles and San Antonio and St. Louis and Detroit, but you chose to go somewhere else. I mean, tonight, I'm not trying to be oratorical. I thank Allah for what my brother James said about oratory, and I don't think that we should dishonor the word by trying to utter it in a brutish manner. But tonight's not about oratory. It's
Come
about
on,
grabbing you by your collar and saying, wake up, Negro, it's time to get up out the grave.
Yes,
and if you say, wait a minute, not me, I'm not a Negro, I'm a registered Muslim, I'm a member of my study group. But if you're not getting the black man and woman out the grave, then you need to get woke up too. Like I said, wake up, Negro.
Come on.
We got work to do. And the work that we must do, we must get over our petty differences and foolishness. And as this night goes on, we'll talk about the policies of the government, some of the things that they want to do to make things a little better. Raising the minimum wage, trying to extend Medicaid, and trying to make sure that we have different policies in place and public works projects going on to hire people and get them back in the job market. All that's well and good, but unless and until we do for self, we will die in the
that's
streets
right.
where we turned our backs on the FOI and MGT. Black people will die because the cost of rejection is very high. We have to, I'm not trying to be a killjoy, Sister Aziza. I'm not, I promise you. But you ask about the state of black America, NAFU, situation has become normalized. It is all fouled up. I was looking at some black women the other day here in one of the most beautiful areas of America, in the great city of Baton Rouge. And as I saw our sisters come into a place of business, I shook my head and I wondered, what can we do and how quickly can we do it? Our sisters have stitched in hair to their scalp. They fried 3 inches of hair and then sewed in 3 feet of somebody else's hair.
Mm-hmm.
They put in purple colors and blonde colors and green and all orange, and then they put in contact lenses and shave off their own eyebrows and paint on some. They put on makeup, and then they come out of the house in the most just immodest, and just you say, man, what happened to my people? And you can ask that question if you see our people tore up like that, young men with their pants sagging down, old men trying to follow them instead of doing what it used to be back in my day. We couldn't wait to become grown so we could dress like grown men.
Come on.
Grown men trying to dress like teenagers. It's crazy.
Mm.
But when you look at black people, you can ask one of two questions. I'm going to say this and I'm going to be quiet because I know we got callers calling in. And when it comes to people calling in, I'm not KC or JoJo, but I want you to come and talk to me. You know? I'm telling you tonight that if we don't do something with our condition, we're going to die in these streets. There's nothing that can change it except Islam. If we accept Islam, we will live. If we reject it, we will die.
That's
whether
right.
we are in the Nation of Islam and have an X or not. I say again, if we accept Islam, we will live. If we reject it, we will die. If we block the doors of the houses of God with a snarling face and a nasty attitude, seeking to create exclusion when God is calling his people home, then we will die. If we come into classes where instruction is to be taught to the FOI and the MGT, and block your entry and matriculation into these classes on the basis that we haven't seen you in too long,
Let me say, I'm not telling your class to become a sieve or an open door, but I am asking you, if the salvation trumpet is being blown and the people come, should not you begin training them in the way of Muhammad? If you and I get on the rostrums where life and the teaching should be taught, and yet we use that rostrum to snipe at our opponents, real or imagined, then our life is ebbing away from us, and we're becoming a blocker of life. Brothers and my dear sister, we got something going on, and it's serious. We got to tell people every day, come on to Farrakhan. They're going to think you're crazy. Let them fake it. Minister Rockmeyer used to tell me two things about fishing. I'm going to say this, I'm going to get up off. He said, son, come here. I said, yes, sir, Minister Rockmeyer. He said, sit down, Jamil. I said, yes, sir. He said, let me tell you how to build a mine, son. Let me tell you how to build a mine, son. What you do? I said, what do you do, sir? He said, go out every day. Every day. Every day. He said, you talk to 20 new people about Islam. Talk to 20 people you hadn't talked to about the teachers. Talk to 20 new people every day about the teachers. Every day. He said, out of that 20, you will start seeing somebody come, and they'll come, and then they'll bring people, and they'll bring people, and it will work, and you will grow your mosque. But your mosque won't just be an institution with a building and a door and a rent and some bills and some paperwork and a cold spirit. It'll be a live place full of the joy of rising from the grave, because resurrection should be a joyful occurrence.
That's right, bro. That's right.
We're going to talk about that in a minute. But look here, the second thing he told me, Brother James, I know you know all this stuff. He told me, he said, Jamil, you know why we don't grow fast, son? I said, why is that, Minister Rockman? He said, we don't teach enough hate. We got to teach more hate. I said, teach hate? What? What? He said, brother, you don't have to talk about no people or group of people or race of people. He said, but any time you believe in God, don't you hate the devil? He said, teach the people to hate the devil. Sir, when you love God, you hate the devil. It's a quickening thing, but you don't keep hate. You use hate to get up. Early in the morning when you turn on your alarm clock, you don't have that sound ringing in your ear all day.
Come on,
you have an objectionable sound. And as soon as you wake up out of your slumber, you stop that sound, and you begin to listen for the tweet of the birdies or just the sound of silence, anything, but not that annoying noise. Hatred ain't going to last you. It doesn't go nowhere. But it may be part of what wakes you up when you look at what evil is in the world and how it has compromised your own daughters and sons, how our people walk the street in a blank stare, how easy it is for them to kill one another. Here in Baton Rouge, we've had incidents lately. A 15-year-old boy walks into a high school party and empties out an automatic weapon, killing three other teenagers right in the black community. Two 15-year-olds and an 18-year-old. A few miles away from Baton Rouge, there in the Gonzales, Louisiana, our young brother, Jerick Lane, is killed by police officers in a bayou, drowned, and they say he drowned himself in 9 feet of water, but a forensic investigation shows the water to be between 3 and 5 feet deep. The police kill you. You kill each other. You eat anything. You suck down poison and chemicals and hog guts and pus and disease and drink liquor and smoke mojo and purple and weed, blunts and stogies and everything else you can do. Then you pop down Cools and Newports and Salems, and some of you smoke Camels and Tarrytons too. And you wonder why you're dead. You see us in the eyes. We look like zombies. And you Muslims who won't go after your people, God
on,
got
bro.
Something for you. He
Come
got
on.
Something. God got something for you. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said to us on March the 4th of this year, it was a Tuesday night, he said, I'm looking for 1,000 new ministers. Did he say it, Brother James?
Yes, sir, he sure did.
1,000 new ministers. He said,
I'm looking to replace the old laborers with new laborers. Did he say that, Sister Aziza and Brother Kareem? Did he say it?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
When he said that, he wasn't joking. He said, I want the videotape, the DVD, of the Thursday laborers meeting in Detroit released to all the believers in the nation. We're working on that right now, I'm sure, in Chicago. I know they're working on it. But until it comes, let me tell you that the minister is working to get us on our post.
He said,
you don't need to ask nobody for no permission to go and teach the word of God.
Teach now.
Come on.
That's what he said. So tonight, if you think you need permission to bear witness that La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, you think you need permission to bear witness that there is no God but Allah who appeared to us in the person of Master W. Farad Muhammad, to whom praise is due forever? You don't need no permission to tell the truth. You don't need no permission to say that that little black man from Sandersville, Georgia, is really the greatest black man to ever walk the planet except God himself, that he's alive and in power with Allah, and his name is Elijah Muhammad. You don't need
no
permission to say that.
That's right.
Do you need somebody to give you a permit form or give you the nod or the okay to say that Minister Farrakhan is a good man, not just a great man? That he's a man that has served as a father to many of us and now a grandfather to many more, and he's teaching the teaching tirelessly as he goes into his ninth decade of life.
Mm.
81 years old, teaching, dabbing, sticking, moving, dancing on his bike, in and out, on the ropes, turning the opponent around and giving him body work.
That's right.
Dealing, man. What are we doing?
That's right.
I don't care what you say about me. Oh, Jamil, he's just loud and country. Yeah, I'm loud and country, and I'm proud to be loud and country. And I love the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and I love you because he taught me how to love you.
Come on, brother.
We wouldn't love black people if it weren't for Farrakhan teaching us Islam from Allah and his Christ. What in the world is there about us to recommend us that someone love us? This morning on the front page of the Baton Rouge Advocate newspaper, the daily newspaper in Baton Rouge, the head story above the fold is that there was a shootout last night between two LSU football players. LSU football down here, if you don't know, is like religion almost. The SEC, the Southeastern Conference, college football. They don't have a pro team down here in Baton Rouge. They got the Saints in New Orleans, but in Baton Rouge, LSU football has been the ruler of the roost for many, many years. They didn't get a pro team in New Orleans until 1968. But an LSU football player is like a god in Louisiana. Here now, these two black boys are shooting it out in an argument in a small town in Louisiana. And one of them gets shot in the abdomen, and he's in intensive care fighting for his life. White folks look at the newspaper and say, look at niggas.
Mm-hmm.
Look how they act. They savage. We gave these two a chance to play. One of them got into the NFL. But they savages. And they justify their mistreatment of you and me by what they project as our savagery. The truth be told, ain't nobody here but us, y'all, but we might as well say it. The truth be told, we have indeed become savage.
Mm-hmm.
A savage is a person who has lost the knowledge of self and is living a beast life. Look at our people in the Bay Area of Florida, Brother James.
Come on, brother. Make it plain.
Savage. Savage, brother. You can't hardly take your sons down the street in St. Petersburg or Tampa. You can't take your son down the street in College Station or Houston or St. Louis or Florissant or Clayton. You sure can't do it in the East Boogie.
Come on.
Walk them down the street. You'll see more behind and backside and breast. Then you might as well go to the darn porno convention. Because there's so much stuff in the street. We have no more modesty. Our men are weak and unable to protect our women. And the only thing we can do is front, act crazy, and we put on the radio songs, I'll have you singing falsetto. Have you heard that?
Mm-mm. No, sir.
You haven't heard it?
No, sir, I haven't heard it, brother.
Here's a man ostensibly threatening to love a woman so good that she'll be singing in falsetto. But when you look at the underlying current of it, falsetto is not a voice sung by any woman.
Teach,
man. Falsetto is an ersatz soprano sung by a man.
That's right.
What are you saying? What are you saying to us in the music that our children listen to on the radio? Lil Wayne has a new artist that he just signed called Fly Young Boy. Have you heard of him? Somebody know what I'm talking about.
The openly gay rapper, yes, we heard.
And this Fly Young Boy is openly gay and talking about, can shake that man blank in front of my face. And then he's saying, I'm going to run up in you. See, and this is what you permit. So because you swill at the slop trough like a hog, then you stand to be slaughtered and butchered like a hog. We become a nation full of filthy dwellers and nasty people. And I'm sorry, I love black people as much as anybody else, but that nasty crap has got to We better accept Islam. I'm going to get up off. I said I was going to get up off about 15 minutes ago. But I'm saying we better accept Islam and live or reject it.
And die. That's right.
Yes, sir. All praises due to Allah. Okay. Now, as I said, we've had a new influx of calls, of course. I just want you to know that Brother Jamil is here to accommodate you on your questions or your comments. So now we're going to take a break. We're going to let Brother Jamil take a breath, and we want to hear from our listening audience. Don't make me open up your phones, but press one on your dial pad, and we're going to take your questions or your comments, and then we're going to go to the chat room. So West Coast, 415. Your mic is now live.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
All in the most holy name of Allah, who came in the divine person of Master Farad, Muhammad the Great Masti, and in the name of his exalted Christ and Messiah, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, and their servant, guide, grace, divine reminder, comforter, warner, and you can go on and on and on with the attributes of our brother and friend and champion that's in our midst. I'm referring to our leader, teacher, and guide, the most honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. It is in their names I greet you all with the greeting words of peace of assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
salam.
Praise be to Allah. I hear my brother James from Florida, Tampa, and all
yes,
praise
sir.
To Allah. Great all to hear you, dear brother. We miss you on the Fajr prayer line and hope to hear from you soon. And
this is
Brother Ronald from San Francisco, California, by way of Atlanta, mosque number 15, and by way from there, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, mosque number 22. But Brother Jamil, thank you. Thank you so much. Never got the opportunity to hear you teach or speak at all. But ironically, when I came into the Nation of Islam in the early 90s, Minister Farrakhan spoke in Baltimore when you were the minister there. And the subject, I'm sure you'll recall, was Jesus, Moses, and Muhammad, a sign of the Black Messiah.
Yes, sir.
In April of 1992, yes, sir.
Go ahead, brother. Thank you for that. And it's one of my favorite lectures to this day, and it's the first time that I physically laid eyes on the Honorable Louis Farrakhan. And I remember him standing you up, Brother Jamil, and he gave us an instruction using you as an example, and he was saying that we must take our young protégés and to carry on the work. He said the salvation of a generation of people is not a one-generation activity. He said that to save our people is it's going to take generations, because it took generations to put us into this condition. And I really appreciate hearing your voice, brother. You sound strong. It's interesting that I also lived in Atlanta, and Brother Minister Abdul Rahman Muhammad, me under his wing. And when you were when you were talking like him, you put me back in Atlanta, my brother. And some of the words he say, son, and he began to teach and give lessons. And one of the things that I appreciate Brother Abdul Rahman the most about is that he never, although he has been encouraged by, as he calls them, the boys across town, and he's referring to some of the brothers that had departed from the Nation of Islam and went in other directions. He said that you know enough, brother. You can go out and open your own mosque. Why are you hanging around there in the Nation of Islam with Minister Farrakhan? And Minister Rahman would always tell them, brother, I know who he is.
Come on.
You know, I know who that man is. And so I could always love him and respect him and honor him because he loved, respected, and honored the Honorable Louis Farrakhan. And so,
that's right.
So, for the listening audience, because this is my first time on the show, and so I don't know who's present, but for those that are not members of the Nation of Islam, I'd like to say this, that we're not tripping when we talk about Minister Farrakhan. Have to really realize and understand the great blessing that Almighty God has given us in this brother. You know, he's a man that if you study your scriptures, if you're a Christian, and you study the from Genesis to Revelation, and you look at the work that this man is doing in front of us, then you will bear witness that the book has to be referring to him, you know, and his teacher and leader, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and the Honorable, Master Faraz Muhammad. So I'm just saying this to say that we really have to get over the emotionalism. Minister Farrakhan on Savior Day put a banner of all of these leaders that we have had in front of us, and we continue to make the same mistake. There in Atlanta, Georgia, he pointed out to us June 26, 2011, I think it was, he asked the question and answered it. Who are the real children of Israel? I'll close with this by saying that if we look at the children of Israel in the scriptures and we see the behavior of the children of Israel in the scriptures, both Bible and Quran, and let's not make the errors and mistakes that they made. That scripture is written there and for us to examine and to look at and to realize that we have a great future among us if we only submit. Yes, these other groups have great ideas and wonderful ideas, but there's only one head to a body. And that head that we have among us, praise be to Allah, is the Honorable Louis Farrakhan. So thank you for allowing me these few words, and may Allah bless
you,
us as a people. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
Wa alaykum as-salam, sir. Okay, we have a lot of people on the line, so I want to make sure. Okay. If you have questions, go ahead, because I just refreshed, press 1 on your dial pad, and we'll take your questions or your comments. We have people from all over the country. I'm just so surprised, because there are some area codes here I haven't seen before. So welcome, and thank you all for joining us tonight. And we have a question out of the chat room from Danny, Brother Jamil. He wants to know the plan of action for black men and in the economy today, since there are no jobs?
Wow, beautiful question, Brother Danny. I'm going to give the first part of it, if you permit me, sister, to give the first part of it, but I really am interested to hear from an example of a black man who has done so well in his own life, you know, and I'm not saying that you can't have made any mistakes and still say something. I'm not saying that. But a man whose life has been on a trajectory to help the minister and to yet maintain his status as a good citizen of black America is Brother James Muhammad, our brother student minister from there in the Bay Area of Florida. So I'm going to give way to him in a moment, but I just wanted to say that the plan of action involves a few simple steps. I didn't say easy, but I said simple. First, you must understand that your future is not in a closer relationship with your open enemy.
Go ahead,
it is not in legislation, acts of Congress, executive orders, state policy, local law, county ordinance. Those are not the things that will make you successful. Not until and never unless you and I decide to stand up and do something for self will we be successful. What does that mean, Brother Jamin? I'm going to do for myself. No, not just your personal self. Not just the you that ends at the top of your head, the bottom of your feet, and the tips of your fingers. Not that personal self. You'll be doing for your personal self, but I'm asking us to accept the definition of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in what is a corporate self. A corporate self, a body of more than one individual human being joined on to one another as members of a functional body of men and a body of women working together for a common cause. That allows us to create opportunities that would not be there. Now, Brother Danny, you didn't say where you were from when you asked the question in the chat room. If it pops up on the screen, Sister Gidget, please let us know. But if, Danny, if you're asking a question about how to do what needs to be done, first off, read what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has written. It's really simple. He says to us in Message to the Black Man,
come on,
he says, observe the operations of the white man, talking about business and success in the world of commerce. He works hard in a collective manner and makes no excuses for his failure. You, talking to us, do the same. He said if there are six or eight of you who can pool your resources and organize together, you can be successful. Let me direct your attention and put the spotlight on the great city of brotherly love in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where there a few weeks ago, as you read about in your recent edition of the Final Call newspaper, Sister Muhammad's Kitchen, that great restaurant and purveyor of our own cultural delicacies and our own cuisine in the Nation of Islam. I'm talking about the bean soup. I'm talking about the fish loaf. I'm talking about Brother Art's famous fish hoagie with or without raisins. If you don't understand what I just said, just bear with me. With or without raisins, and it's always got to have the secret sauce, okay? But in Sister Muhammad's Kitchen, they combined the efforts of three Muslim restaurateurs in Philadelphia. One couple, Brother Rahim and Sister Muhammad, his wife, the namesake of Sister Muhammad's Kitchen, and then Brother Keith and his family from Chester, Pennsylvania, making that beautiful East Coast bean pie. Yum, yum, yum. Of course, I don't eat it no more because I don't want to be fat forever. And then there's also Brother Art, the former owner of Nature's Kitchen on 56 and Lansdowne, where he actually perfected the Muslim fish hoagie sandwich that he eat in Philly. Explain it to him, Brother Jamie. You know, today he's cooking them in Philly. But I'm telling you, they got together and they opened up an ultra-modern, state-of-the-art, clean-as-a-whistle, I mean, snappy service, wonderful time, great cuisine, restaurant. That's what we can do, not just with restaurants, but every business, Brother Danny, every business we can put together and put it on. In Baton Rouge, we got Southern Fresh. Y'all know what Southern Fresh is? Oh, you don't know? Southern Fresh is we got our own toilet paper. We got our own toilet paper right
here.
Excuse me, I'm sorry, I'm on the radio. Bathroom tissue. We have our own bathroom tissue here in Baton Rouge. And our brother Derek, they call him Brother Cold Drink. But Brother Cold Drink and the brothers that he's working with, they put together and got in some beautiful top quality bathroom tissue to supplement the Muslims' homes and the homes in the black community. And we're working for self and putting teams together. And there are successes like this all over the nation. So Brother Danny, that's what I would see as the plan of action for us to do for self. And it's written in the center leaf article of this newspaper that's on the streets now with the headline, The State of Black America. I'm talking about the April 15th edition of the Final Call newspaper, an article by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan called Doing for Self. And if you look there, it's from the actual Final Call, Volume 1, Brother James.
Number four, mm-hmm. way back, Brother Kareem, when you was young, okay? So all of that is available for us. And Brother Danny, may Allah bless you and the brothers with whom you collaborate and cooperate. Let's get it in, brother. Let's make a difference in our communities. Brother James, anything that you wanted to add to that?
Well, first of all, let me say, Brother Jamil, that you're right on target with your answer. As the Honorable Elijah Muhammad instructed us, that cooperative effort among black people, and to put it very simply, like-minded, like-thinking black people of an entrepreneurial state of mind, come together and pool their resources and build business. Economically is the very simple, as you stated, answer to a very complex problem, which of course is declared or stated very clearly in the statistical report given to us in this particular article of this same newspaper, the Final Call newspaper, of underemployment and unemployment in the black community. However, I'd like to, if you don't mind, I'd like to come from another side, since the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad stated that the black man's problem at his root is spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
Spiritual.
That's right.
Now, there is a verse in Scripture, in the Quran I'm referencing. It's in the surah or chapter entitled Voluntary Gifts. It's the 25th verse wherein it reads, "And guard yourselves against an affliction which may not smite those of you exclusively who are unjust, and know that Allah is severe in requiting." The principal meaning of that particular scripture, so teaches the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, is that those of us who may be trying to live a good life, a righteous life, doing the right thing, yet it is a strong possibility that we will not escape the chastisement, because good is not good according to our interpretation and definition. Good is good according to our obedience to the timely instruction of God as it comes through his servant, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Have you ever wondered, I want to pose this question to those of us who are prayerful, have you ever wondered why there's so many prayers going up to God on behalf of our people to get us up out of the condition that 400 years of slavery has rendered us in, yet still suffer the same calamity, the same malady, the same statistical and negative report regarding our economic status, our political status, and our cultural status? It is because you cannot expect God to raise up a servant and then put a message in his mouth that he demands all must listen to and hearken to, and then expect people to be successful ignoring the message. With all of the prayers that go up to God, with all of the lamenting and crying on behalf of the condition of our people, God seems not to hear. He seems to be silent. The killing of our children is on the increase. Is that right? Not only by ourselves, which is abundant, but also by our enemies, one right after another. God, why don't you intervene on our behalf and stop this? You certainly have the power to do it. It is because, so teaches the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, you have not hearkened unto his messenger. You want salvation, that is economic salvation, from a people whom God determines to economically destroy. How can you expect that our condition will improve when God, through all of the prophecies, has determined a judgment that he's going to destroy wicked Babylon? I mean, where do you think you are? Babylon, Babylon has fallen. Why? Because she has become the habitation of devils.
That's
and a
right.
cage of every foul spirit and indecent bird, anything of indecency you can find within the borders of America. And much of it is legislated to be legal. Then Allah's warning is, come out of her, my people. Not integrate into her, not seek to assimilate into her, but come out of her, my people, so that you be not partakers of her sins and her plague. Joblessness is a plague as a result of sin. Joblessness is a plague afflicting in large part black people as a result of our unwillingness to come out of Babylon. Well, how do you come out? You mean migrate to Africa? Well, maybe we will move geographically, but geographical relocation is not necessarily what I'm referring to. I mean come out of her mindset, come out of her culture, her folkways, her mores, her indecent and filthy behavior. Come out of her. And when you come out, remember that you're going to be responsible for your own care. And so the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan reintroduced Muhammad's economic blueprint. A nickel a day, 35 cents a week, 18 plus dollars a month or a year. Is it a month or a year? 18, 20 a year. Because we must take our mouths out of the white man's kitchen. We must take our minds out of the white man's institutions of improper learning and miseducation. We must take our bodies out of the clothing of the white man, particularly our women. We must take our culture out of the culture of white America. Come out of her, my people. And I'll say this as I close. There's a hadith in Islam, meaning a saying stated or related to or stated to be related to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. This hadith states that in a time of famine, the cows gritted their teeth and looked up to the heavens and petitioned God and asked God, God, why are you destroying us? We have never disobeyed you. And the answer came resoundingly. It is not you I am after. But if I allow you to feed and become fat, then the enemies that I am targeting will feed from you and yet sustain and maintain their life. So I have to kill you in order to kill them. In like manner, we have to suffer, the white man rather has to suffer poverty, want, the fall of his economic system, the fall of his dollar, the selling off of his wealth. America has been sold off to foreign entities, whether you know it or not. She's not owned anymore by the people, nor the government. Because she's facing destruction. We have to then suffer because we continue to look to America to support us when God wants to give us plenty under the conditionality that we obey him and come out of Babylon. So those of us who are job seekers, those of us who are looking for grants, for loans, those of us who are investing our hopes and dreams in the bankrupt enterprise of America, we will continue to suffer until and unless we decide to obey God and come out of her. And as Brother Jamil said, emulate the white man only in his collective working, doing for self, making no excuses for his failure. Let us do the same. Thank you, Brother Jamil, for allowing me that time, brother, to address that question.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Praise be to Allah.
Okay, we're going to go to the phone lines, and we have someone calling from Chicago. So Chicago is so many from Chicago, so let me just do the last four numbers, 8074. Your mic is now live. Go ahead and press one on your dial pad. It's a lot of people on the phone. They're just not saying anything. I don't want to have to open up their mics. But Lydia had a question, Brother Jamil. Hold on, but she's still typing. Okay. We're going to go to Florida. Last four numbers, 9958. There's so many from 813. So 9958, your mic is now live.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
This is Brother Jalil representing the BYC in Tampa.
Yes, Brother Jalil. Assalamu alaikum,
sir. Brother Jalil, I miss you, brother. I haven't seen you since we were in Tampa, brother, and I met you and the brothers, and, man, it's an honor to hear your voice again, Top Soldier. How have you been?
All praise be to Allah, brother. The trenches is deep.
Yes, sir.
What's your question tonight, my dear brother?
I don't have a question. Really, I just want to elaborate on what the beloved Brother Minister James expounded on. And by doing so, first I want to say I believe there's no God but Allah who appeared in the person of one Master Muhammad. I'm on the plantation now, so please forgive my background noise and interference.
But even if you have to be brief, brother, we know you're going to bring it strong, even if it don't take long. So let's go on and do it, brother. Yep. Yes, sir.
And it won't take long at all. Beloved brothers, Brother Minister James here in Tampa, he married me and my wife, my queen.
Yeah.
He officiated things, so we are Muslims, vowed one to another in the nation.
That's right.
Now, when he spoke tonight, he spoke very direct, but it was indirect in its point of view when everybody got to see what need to be seen. And this is what I saw what he said. I am a FOI in the nation. I love my family. I'm a BYC member because we love the hood and we want to bring them up under the restrictive law. All praise.
Come on, brother. Yes, sir.
Now, but I guarantee in agreeance to what Brother Minister James said, if each one of us took our children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, aunties, and uncles, and we made our primary focus individually on them, as I am doing, we would have so much work to do. It would be in comparison on a minimal scale of a mustard seed to the mission the most honorable Elijah Muhammad had to raise the nation.
That's right.
See, we can always give a divine inspirational thought outside of our immediate circle. But, beloved brothers and sisters, I promise you, there's no dire strait we are in as a people and a nation than to raise our own families. You raise yours. He raised his. She raised hers. I know within the twinkling of an eye, Allah will bring the nation together as one. We cannot talk about economic progress, growth and development outside of our intermediate circles. I will never be on a chat line, talk line, if I'm not giving that to my nieces, nephews, sons, uncles. We got families, family. We all got families. We can internationally reach out, but who is using the tentacles of light, life, and power to bring in their own family? Who is doing that? I'm so disgusted with no one really going inside the circle of themselves and knowing that the greatest reflection of Allah is within them, germinating the life, light, and power to move planets, because they're the only ones with the teachings of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad and Allah appearing in the person of Master Muhammad. No one else got that. Talk about anything outside of Pluto, our father's light, life, and energy source that can bring back life, without shining light on the Pluto. You know? So, I love the chat lines. Please forgive me if I'm disgruntled. Please forgive me in all manner
of disrespect. That's all right, you know.
And I promise you, I don't mean any disrespect at all, but I'm here in the trenches. I live in the trenches. I deal with the trenches. I love our family. I know what's on top of the planet. I know what's outside of the atmosphere of the world. Then I know what's the galactical light, life, and power that makes everything move. I know that. But why am I having a problem with what's in my atmosphere, what was in my gravitational pull of night and day? Seasonal change. Seasonal change is the smallest change of Allah within his total creation, seasonal change, right here on earth. Summer, winds, fall, spring, fall. Summer, winds, spring, fall. What in the world is causing you and me to be able to talk summer in somebody else's life when it's winter going on your side of the planet? I am very disgusted with that. I love us, but we must incorporate this divine light, life, and power within our families, man. If we don't do it, you will be a very good orator. You'll be a very good speaker and teacher. But when the mosque shut down, when the synagogue shut down, when the places of worship shut down, who would be the believers and the followers of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad? Who are you going to teach then? The synagogue's already shut down. The mosque is already dormant. The study groups are null and a void. But you got a mosque in front of your family, brothers. What we going to do? Brother Jihad, in the BYC here in Tampa, he is a very, very staunch teacher, believer, and an advocate to what I'm saying. And there's nothing more divine than truth. Now, if you can divide what I'm saying, and you can give me a better equation of light, life, and power, please give it to me. But the BYC in Tampa is going into the hood. We going to our families first.
So, brother, you know, I think may I interject, Brother Jalil? May I just bear witness to what you said? You you're on it, brother, and I feel from you your disgust and your anguish. And if I could say a word, if you and Brother James and Brother Kareem and Sister Aziza don't mind, just as a word, brother, that is the spirit that will fuel you to reach the balance in your outreach and in your working at home. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad is our example. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan serves also as a fine example. Minister Farrakhan recently reported to us that his children are with him in the work.
That's right.
He brought his sons out on stage at Savior's Day in February in Detroit. Do you remember? And
yes,
as he brought his out, he talked about his family. Now, brother, often the way that your family comes to Islam may not be as direct as it is if you walk down the street, meet a stranger, shake his hand, sell him a paper, bring him to the mosque, he accepts the teaching, he goes in process and then becomes an FOI. Sometimes the families are a little bit more difficult. You got to give them a little bit more rope on that, a little slack on that line, and let them swim around and get tired a little bit, and then bring them in a little bit slower and more slowly, and bring them into the fold. I feel you, brother, because I'm living my life through that example that I'm hearing you say. But the minister's life and his family is a witness of what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told him. Go after your people. Don't worry about your family. Allah will take care of your family. Is that what he said, Brother James?
That's what he said.
He said, don't worry about your family. Help me in this mission. Allah will take care of your family. So he went out, and he was an evangelist. Well, he's
fine. Beloved, we know that meant something in a broader sense, but you and I, him and us, she and we, beloved brothers, beloved brothers and sisters, that was the mission and that was the insight of the divine leaders who had international attention, beloved.
Yes.
We know what he was telling the ministers. But
well, let me just finish, Brother Jalil. I'm trying to agree with you, brother. What I'm saying to you is there's a balanced effort. We do not overlook our own. You are exactly right, brother. Our own sons and daughters and nieces and nephews and moms and cousins and aunties. I've had a little bit of success bringing in some family members of mine to Islam, and I thank Allah for being able to do that. It wasn't me who did it. It was Allah who did it through my effort. But I exactly understand what you're saying, and I'm feeling your angst. But I would just encourage you, with whatever experience I can bring to the table, to continue to do both, to work hard by setting the right example for your family and encouraging them with love to come to Islam. And at the same time, continue to reach out. You don't have to be international. You don't have to go beyond the borders of the United States, but even if you go out and reach out to people who are not biologically related to you. The one thing I would say is the divine leaders that you talk about, that number also includes you. Minister Farrakhan is not the last divine leader. Brother Jibril teaches us in his column, he said Allah chose to come to North America by himself. That's Allah's choice. He chose the most honorable Elijah Muhammad to be his Christ. That's his choice. He chose the honorable minister Louis Farrakhan to be made up into the most honorable Elijah Muhammad and take his place among the people. But that's not the end of his choice. It's not just he chose Allah, he chose to come, and he chose the messenger, and he chose the minister, and that's it. And the rest of us are just a bunch of accidents. No, we are the one community that Allah is bringing up. So I encourage you, I thank Allah for your question, your comments, and for your spirit, because it's a good spirit to save our people. But don't let disgust take you over. Let the hope of Allah take precedence over the disgust with the current condition, because the Muslims are promised in the Holy Quran that our latter state will be better than our former state. So hang in there, brother. Keep working. Keep pushing, man. And may Allah continue to bless you. That's all I would say.
As-salamu alaykum.
Walaikum
salam. Walaikum
salam. Brother Jamil, Sister Aziza, can I just say
yes.
a couple of points? One of which I'd like to share with Brother Jamil, that this is Brother Jalil. Maybe you're getting him mixed up with Brother Jihad.
Okay, because, okay.
All right, because it was Brother Jihad, I'm sure, that you met
okay.
when you were in
okay.
Tampa. And we just want to make that distinction. Although we love Brother Jalil, no question about it. But Brother Jihad wanted me to make that distinction so you'll know exactly who you're talking to. And, of course, we love his passion.
Yes,
the
sir.
The point that I wanted to make, with you all's permission, is the same point that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan made regarding this subject matter. Number one, many of us who by Allah's grace, ascended to positions of leadership, ministry, and other laboring posts. Yet we still have what is called fragile ego and a hunger for that ego to be fed. And it is because of our hunger, our egotistical hunger, this is part of it, that we lend our time to those areas, of course, where we get accolade, where we get response. Many of us who are laborers, who are ministers, many of us have this in us. It's not a condemnation. It's an expression of a certain level of maturity, growth, and development. We love to get the adoration, the adulation, the acceptance of the people. And so that's where you'll find us working. But there's another reason, Brother Jalil, in terms of family. You know, those of us who don't live with us, or those of the people who don't live with us, they hear us from a rostrum, or they see us in a mosque, or they see us as we present the best of what we are to them. They don't see the flaw. They don't see the errors. They don't see Brother James when he's at home with his shoes kicked off and his wife yelling at him about picking his drawers up off the floor. They don't see that part. They see, you know, the focus, the studied, if you will, the practice, orator, following, studying the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan for so many years, all of the mentorship of the great ones, Brother Jamil included, that have invested their knowledge, their training, a lot. I got a lot in me. I'm just speaking for me now that I owe to many, many sources. But the people don't see that. But our children, they see the real deal. You know what I'm saying? And as a
yes,
result
sir.
Of seeing the real deal, I mean seeing us, you know, how we really are in our home habitat or, you know, with our guard down, that oftentimes colors their judgment of us. That oftentimes causes them to devalue what we do, what we are, what we say, even though what we do, what we are, and what we say is exemplary of what they should be following if we're training them up properly. This is why you find, in many cases, ministers' children, some of the most inordinate children, disobedient and rebellious children, and especially those who are national or international figures as a result of their responsibility to the nation and responsibility to the globe internationally, We neglect home.
Yes, sir. That's true.
We neglect home for a greater and larger family. And so as I close my statement, the minister instructed us, giving us the proper hierarchy, if you will. He said very simply, God first, family second, and then nation. Now, these are his words.
That's right.
And so you're absolutely right, Brother Jalil. But don't be hard on us, please. Because as we are nursing our fragile egos and feeding the need for acceptance, feeding the need for attention, our intentions, for the most part, are pure. We love our people. We love the mission. We certainly love the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and we want to be helpers to him. But we have accepted the broader mission of bringing the resurrecting word to the world. And this is what some of what that history of Abraham having to sacrifice his son. God didn't want him to kill Ishmael, but he wanted to see if Abraham loved him more than he loved the son that he longed for and waited so long for. Well, symbolically, that means, yes, we have family. Yes, we have wives. Yes, we have aunties, uncles, grandmas, and grandpas, and nieces, and nephews. And we should give our attention to them. Certainly we should. But we have the broader mission of the people. Now the question is, which one will we prioritize? And I think we're all going to be faced with that challenge, those of us who sincerely want to be helpers of Jesus. You see? We're going to be faced with that challenge. And so the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan was instructed, don't worry about your family. Allah will take care of your family. And it was not because he had national or international import, dear brother. It was a principle that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad was articulating. And that principle was, God gave you your family. And if you work in my cause and in my mission, that which I have given you, I am quite capable of sustaining. And this is why, even though there was neglect, by his own admission, there was insufficient attention to his family by his own admission. I'm not saying this about him. I'd never judge the minister in any shape, form, or fashion. I'm only repeating what he said. Yet his family is with him. Why? Because as he sacrificed himself and they sacrificed their father so that he could be a father to a whole nation, Allah God was true to his word and took care of his family, and his family is now with him. And those of us who accept the mission, not to neglect our family, but we are called to a broader family. And if we're sincere to the mission that encompasses the broader family of the human family, then Allah God will take care of our family. So I just wanted to make those points, Brother Jamil. Thank you. Thank you very much for allowing me to do so. Assalamu alaikum.
Beautiful dialogue. Well, thank you. Walaikum salam. I enjoyed the dialogue. Yes, indeed.
And, okay, listen, we have a lot of people on the phone, and you know, I don't want to neglect anyone. I want to bring Brother Kareem in,
yeah,
especially to Brother Jalil's question because, you know, I kind of understand his frustration and where he's coming from. And, you know, we all have a duty to do. And, you know, it's one thing to go out here and get your people, but if your people are not receptive or if you don't see the multitude who have received the message going out and doing the work, it can be very frustrating. And then when you come home, there could be some other things going on. So I want to go to Brother Kareem. And then those of you who are on the phones, I'm going to take your calls in order. So just don't hang up after Brother Kareem. We're coming back to the phone lines after we get this question from Sister Lydia out of chat room. Okay, so Brother Kareem, anything from Brother Jaleel?
Well, I would have to say first and foremost, you know, I agree with what Brother Jamil and what with Student Minister James Muhammad have shared. The thing is that if we go to the Quran, Allah states in the Quran that our children and our wives will be a trial for us. I'm paraphrasing. But the bottom line is, and so we have to understand that that's on all different levels. The thing is that our families are very, very important. However, it doesn't matter whether, I'm saying it in this sense, it does not matter whether the people respond or not. We are told that the duty of the messenger is clear delivery of the message. It's clear delivery, as long as we are doing the job as it has been given to us, and we are following the instructions of he that is in front of us as the leader, then it's not for us to become despondent about that. We just continue to do the job. As a matter of fact, in another place in the Quran, Allah states that the only ones that we are going to be able to make believe are those who already believe. I mean, these instructions are not just out there for anything. Also, and because I'm not going to be long on this, the other thing I would say is, it's from my own personal experience, is that when I find myself getting low or getting dejected or feeling like, well, what's the use? I reflect back on where I was at when I walked away from what I was raised in, the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and the fact that Allah never turned his back on me, and the fact that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, by his efforts, is what allowed me to come back to myself and even be here present to be able to help. So, you know, and as the minister has been tweeting recently about the fact that we have to look at our people as what they can be, what their potential to be is, and not get dejected by their behavior at this point in time. You know, ultimately, pleasing Allah is the key. Ultimately,
that's right.
I mean, that's where I find my peace of mind at. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Okay, time is winding down. We have a bunch of calls on the phone, so we're just going to take the phone calls. Brother Jamil, do you mind? Brother Jamil?
No, ma'am. I don't mind.
Okay, so most of these look like they're coming from Florida, so Brother Jihad Amos Muhammad, Assalamu alaikum. Your mic is live, sir.
Wa alaikum salam. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
salam,
sir.
Wa alaikum salam, my dear brother. Leader of the BYC. All praises due to Allah. You have a question or a comment for us?
Yes, ma'am. As a student, first let me seek refuge with Allah from the rejected Satan. In the name of Allah, the beneficent, the most merciful. I would like to salute the panel. the panelists and also yourself, Sister Aziza, for a beautiful show. And I want to personally salute my comrade and brother in the struggle, Brother Jalil Muhammad, for those passionate words. And, you know, Brother Jamil said something that was so profound in regards to a certain point you get to, that he's at, that we all should be at. And when you become dissatisfied, it's good to disagree with the norm of what's going on in our community, but we shouldn't become disagreeable to get along with or to get along with others. But it was something that Brother Jalil said that was that also caught my attention in regards to the mosques, the synagogues, and the churches. What if all of a sudden none of them existed? Who do you have in front of you then? The people. And the Most Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan told us that the people are the true mosque. They are the true churches or the true houses of God. We can go inside of a building and clap and sing, but after we come out of that building, the building is just a building. But the people are more important than the building. So the people are the true houses of God, and that's what I got from Brother Brother Jalil's words and his passion. But now going back to the basis in studying and learning how to rise above our emotions, I'm learning this because every brother is not my brother because of their color. Al Sharpton said every skin folk is not your kin folk. And when you go into the scriptures, and I'll cut it off real briefly, but when you go into the scriptures, we learned from the beginning how a brother slew his brother, how Cain slew Abel. Then we go further, how the daughters of Lot laid with him. We even go just a little bit back and how the sons showed up or covered the shame of Noah. And we just go on and how the son of Noah took leave to a mount, and how Allah told him, I know who your son is. And when the people came to Jesus and said, your brothers and your mother is outside, he said, I know who my mother and my brothers are and sisters are. He said, it is those who are in the temple with me or doing the work that I'm doing. So I say all that to say this, even though the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad was successful with the assistance of our mother, Clara Muhammad, in bringing his family into the teachings of the Most Honorable, under the wisdom of Master Farad Muhammad and guidance of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Even from that body of children, some went astray and denied and denounced their father after his departure. So being blood related, sometimes, you know, Allah tells us that there will be division among the families. And we see it every day. We see it every day. Sometimes you'll find some people on the outside of your family that show more love towards you than your own family. But that doesn't negate the fact that you shouldn't convey the message to your family. And that's what I'm doing. That's what I encourage by the grace of Allah under the guidance of the Most Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And that's why I try to encourage my comrades and fellow brothers and sisters. Go to your children. Go to your mother. Go to your aunties and your family members and convey the message. And in the process of you doing that, don't forget about your family on the outskirts, because they are our family. I would rather meet my brother teaching them instead of meeting them on the end of a barrel of a gun. So with that being said, I'd like to thank you again for having this program, because it's much needed, especially nowadays, now time, is very much needed. And I want to personally salute Brother Jamil for taking time out, and Brother James and Brother Kareem. Now, I didn't get the other brother name, but thus far I've heard nothing but wisdom, great guidance. And Brother Jalil, I want to salute you again. And I love you all, and you can't do nothing about it in the words and voice of our brother Danny. Assalamu alaikum.
Waalaikum salam. Thank you, Brother Jihad. Okay. Wow, we got a lot of people. Let's go to Arizona. 1090, last four numbers. Assalamu alaikum. Your mic is live.
Waalaikum salam. This is Brother Alexander out of Arizona. Assalamu alaikum, family.
Waalaikum salam.
Waalaikum salam, sir.
I wanted to clear up to make sure the name of the brother who was expressing his concern in regards to family. Was it Brother Jalil?
Yes, sir.
I wanted to add on to a little bit of the consolement that's been given to the brother and good advice that's been given to the brother. When I heard him speaking, it reminded me of Noah. And we all know in the story of Noah, when that flood came about, his son drowned in the waters. It was too late for him. The doors already closed. But in that, we see that Noah never forsook his duty and never aborted the mission. Noah was a good example for his family. His family also was well aware that Noah was a servant of God, that Noah was doing his best in working his mission, and Noah did the best that he could to be a good example to his wife and children. However, even though one still fell on the wayside, it does not negate the fact that he still kept his duty. And how Brother Minister James reminded us, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said to Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, that Allah will take care of your family. So as long as we are sure, as long as we are sure that we are keeping our duty, which implies action, as long as we are keeping our duty to our Lord, indeed, Allah will most certainly sustain and maintain our family. However, we don't believe in spookism. When we go out in the field to work, we don't come back home empty-handed. And so what I'm saying, I say that to say this.
That's right.
If we are sure, in Arabic, the word is called aqidah, meaning that you have complete certainty and complete conviction that there is not a shadow of a doubt within a single nuance of your being, that you are in fact and indeed keeping your duty to your Lord, whether it's by intention or by action, for we know sometimes circumstances do not allow us to enunciate our intentions or perform them in the way in which we intended, although we are still blessed for that. So I want to say to you, brother, do not allow yourself to become emotionally attached, regardless as to how much we want the betterment for our people, the salvation and liberation of our people. If they don't want it, they don't want it. But if you know that you are doing your duty and you are a messenger of the messenger, then you have nothing to fear and nothing to grieve about. As long as when you go out in the field and do the work and you come home, that you have something in your hands to continue to sustain and maintain and provide for your family. And they should not more than likely fret over the absence of the father, for they know their father is doing the work of the originator of the heavens and the earth. He's doing his best to submit his will, or more likely to make sure that his will is in harmony with the will of the originator of the heavens and the earth. So what more joy would a family have than knowing that the husband and the father and the man of the home is in fact, without a shadow of a doubt, not only a brother, a husband, and a father, but a servant of the originator of the heavens and the earth. So, brother, don't allow yourself to be overtook by that emotion, even though that emotion of dissatisfaction from a mature and well-developed spiritual mind knows that dissatisfaction, in fact, brings out change. So if you know for a surety that you are doing your duty and you keep your duty, then there is nothing to fret about. There's nothing to despair about.
Thank you. I'm sorry. Thank you, Brother Alexander. We have a lot of more questions, and we're running out of time, but we certainly thank you for your message so very much. Okay. We're going to take another call from Florida, and last four numbers, 5973. Last four numbers, 5973. Your mic is live. Going once, going twice, 5973. Okay. Area code 561, that's from Florida too. Last four numbers, 6892. Your mic is now live. Last four numbers, 6892. Your mic is live. Okay. Area code 904. Your mic is live.
All praises due to Allah.
Assalamualaikum.
All praises due to Allah. Can I be heard?
Yes, sir. We hear you just fine.
All praises due to Allah. Thank you, dear sister. This is Brother James in Jacksonville. First of all, I want to say thank Allah for coming in person, Master Rabbi Muhammad, giving us the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and every brother and sister on this line, and every brother who spoke, who's striving to be upright, to be a better human being. My message is short. I will bring you greetings, of course. I would be remiss if I did not give you greetings from my dean and minister, Minister Lucius Bay. Those of you who know, he's a man who's 101 years old, and he has been the assistant to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and he's assistant right now to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So I give you the greetings of peace. Peace unto you. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam. Please return the greetings to our beloved. Our beloved senior minister.
I want to thank Brother Jihad for inviting me. This is my first time on this line. But I will say I thank Allah, because as our dean and minister has made it very clear, as I listened to the different speakers and the different presentations, they were excellent. I will say, as our dean and minister will tell you, we are in debt to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan more than we know. If it was not for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan starting up the nation again in 1977, there would not be a nation of Islam today. And so each of us must ask this question. We say that this is the man of God. This is the man that we're following. And he is an example for us. And as an example, he gave us a Savior's Day, the lecture, how strong is the foundation, can we survive? And I wanted to say in very short piece, how do we serve God? I listened to all the beautiful comments. God does not need our prayers. God does not need food, money, anything. For he said, cattle upon a thousand hills are all mine. Heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. He said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't even ask you. This is written in the scriptures. So how do we serve God? The only way to serve God is how I treat you, how we treat each other. I thank Brother Jihad for inviting me to this line and has been diligently inviting me to different circuits. I will say this, the only way to serve God, as the scriptures say, how can we say we love God who we've never seen? Hate and mistreat our brother and sister who we see every day. It is impossible to love God, but I mistreat you. It is impossible to love God, but I don't give this message, as brother said, to my own family, to my uncles, to my aunts, to my, I don't treat people, but I love God. That's why it says very clearly, and I'm going to stop right here. It says, a house that is divided against itself has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. We have to think over that. And that goes to what the minister has been teaching us, how strong is the foundation? Can we survive? It is impossible for me to love God, but I mistreat you, sister. It's impossible for me to love God, but I hate you. I just wanted to say that in reference to all that I'm hearing and all that we're saying. And so we say we love the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. If we love the minister, as we say we do, then love is an action word. Then we should be doing what he's doing. We should be doing what he's saying. This is why Minister Farrakhan has taught this lecture, how strong is the foundation. How strong is the foundation of love? How strong is the foundation of economics? How strong is the educational foundation? Remember, a house divided against itself has denied the faith and is worse than itself. So thank you for those words. I just wanted to say I leave you in peace, brothers and sisters, and again give you greetings. And our dean and minister would love to hear from you. He would love to talk with you, each and every last one of us on this line. And if I may give the number before I go, and he always said to give it because he's 101. Allah has blessed him. I mean, we may not know his history, but I will say this. Some do not know. He has been with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad since 1938. He's been with the nation since 1938. And his numbers, you like to call. His mind is more rational and logic than any of us on this line. I will say that. And there's a reason he's here, as the messenger told him. Teach this teaching, even if they have to roll you out on a stretch. That's what the messenger told him. The number is 478-783-2663. That's 478-783-2663. And, brothers and sisters, this is a man who walks around, talks. He just stopped driving a couple years ago. but the reality is he's here for us as Minister Farrakhan. You know, ministers brought him out of the believers meeting, and he takes him everywhere he needs to and sends for him frequently. May Allah bless us. I love you. Leave us that came in peace. Thank you for allowing me to have a few words. Peace unto you. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum salam.
Wa alaykum salam. Okay. I have to get to Sister Lydia's question in the chat room as we're winding down. And it's a very important question, very deep question. She wants to know how to best get the fathers in touch with the sons. Just in our chatting back and forth, she was saying that the boys in the communities now need men. They need their fathers, surrogate fathers, whatever you want to call them. And so how do we get the men, Brother Jamil, to come out on the front line and secure our young men and to give them not only wisdom but some form of protection and guidance?
Well, you know, sister, as I listened to Sister Lydia's very, very profound question and your explanation of it, there are solutions and answers that appear very simple, even though they're not easy. Simple thing doesn't mean it's an easy thing. I don't want to run the risk of talking overly long, teaching too much. But to answer the question and make room for the next questioner,
let me just say this. The example is Minister Louis Farrakhan. He goes to the class called the FOI, and he doesn't send us to the street. He leads us to the streets where we
That's
go
right.
and we meet and we talk with and we share brotherhood with our brothers. It's nothing spooky. It's not nothing fancy. It doesn't require any new invention. It just means going where the people are, loving them, shaking their hands, and serving them in what they need. It may be something as simple as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan being told by a brother in the streets of Chicago, "Hey, Farrakhan, I need me $100. You got $100?" And the minister quickly reached his pocket, peeled off $100, gave it to him. "Here you go, brother." You see, what our people need, they're going to ask for. Sometimes, even if that brother was trying to be a little smart, whatever the case may be, I bet you he'll never forget that day. And
That's
that a black
right.
man showed love to him and gave him what he needs. Sometimes our communities need solace and comfort. That's why it was a pleasure to join my brother Louis Ali and brother Silky Slim and the other brothers here in Baton Rouge who came to the aid of the family of brother Jerick Lane, who they say drowned accidentally in a bayou 3 feet deep. When we came to their aid, they thanked us sincerely. And they see a face on the Nation of Islam that's a face of compassion. We can't be the people, Sister Lydia, who only come around when it's time to sell you a paper or collect the savior they give. If we're selling a ticket to an event or if we got something we want to ask you to do, then we come and talk to you. But any time other than that, we don't speak to you. That can't be us. We've got to be the people who encounter and engage our people, and therein lies the solution of turning the hearts of the fathers back to the children and turning the hearts of the children back to their fathers.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Jamil. Okay, I think we have a call out of Miami. Your mic is now live. Last four numbers, 3111. Last four numbers. Your mic is live. Okay, I'm not sure if they're trying to get in or not. Okay, we have one more question out of the chat room, but before we take that question, Brother Jamil, is there anything else that you want to expound on before we take the last question? Brother Jamil, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. I don't want to go beyond the allotted time. Some of our callers have been very, very knowledgeable, and they've gone into great detail and depth, and I don't have time to do that at this point. But I will say this. The key is to get close as you can to the minister, hear him, and obey him.
That's
he is
right.
the one that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said of him, where you see him, look at him.
Come on,
where you hear him, listen to him. Where he tells you to go, go. And where he tells you to stay from, stay from. Continue to hear our Minister Farrakhan. That instruction is overriding and it is constant. It is what's called a standing instruction. So what we must do then is we must hear and obey Farrakhan. What is he asking us to do? To get in the street and save our people. You say, well, I don't know what to do. Huh? If you listen to Savior's Day 1974, you hear the Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
Come on, Brother Jamil.
He said, we cannot sit down. We cannot lay down.
That's right.
We must get up and go to work.
That's
it's
right.
It's a simple, clear instruction. It ain't fancy. If you don't know what to do, keep doing something until you find out how to do it better. If you just got to go around the neighborhood and shake hands with people and tell them, brother, you ain't got to be out here like this. Come on, man. If you go into your family, like Brother Jalil said, and you talk to your auntie, baby, please, auntie, you eating this hog maw and you got that high blood pressure. Come on, I want you to live. Let me show you how to eat to live. See, there's something for everyone in Islam. And we've got to be able to be, we may not be the doctor, but we got to be like the apothecary, the pharmacist. dispensing the medicine for what ails our people. And
come
we
on,
sick.
Brother.
So let us get busy with the mortar and the pestle of Islam. And let us put together the medicine and mix it up right in the proper concentration and at the right dosage and apply it at the right time and with the right frequency. And you'll watch. The healing will take place because Allah has determined that it will take place. I'll leave you with this from the Holy Quran, the second surah, where you find Ibrahim and Ishmael setting up the foundation of the Kaaba at Mecca. And they make a prayer there in verse 127, I believe it is, Brother James, where they ask, O Allah, make us submissive to thee and raise up a nation out of our loins, our forebears. Make them submissive to thee and show them their ways of devotion. Am I paraphrasing close to what it is?
Yes,
Brother
sir.
James?
You're on it, beloved. That's right.
If that's the case, then the nation, raise up a nation. Here we are called the what of Islam? Nation.
Nation.
He said, make that nation submissive to thee. When you submit to Allah, what is that called? Entering the state of what? Islam.
Yeah.
So we are the nation of Islam. And then the prayer of the prophets, the prayer of the righteous, the prayer of the worthies of antiquity is that we would be shown our way of devotion.
Mm-hmm. Come
the
on.
Great nation community, the great Muslim communities throughout history have had a way of devotion. When the Umayyad Caliphate came to Damascus, they began to develop science and math and the astrolabe and geometry and trigonometry. That was their way of devotion, the intellectual pursuits. There were other Muslims in the Ottoman Empire whose exploits on the battlefield gave the terror in the hearts of the enemies, and they were known for twirling a scimitar and taking care of plain business. That was their way of devotion. Some of the Sufis, they whirl and twirl until they reach a state of religious ecstasy and friendship and togetherness with Allah in their personal expression. That's their way of devotion. But you know what ours is? The resurrection of the Negro.
That is
what we do that no community of Islam before us has ever done, and none coming after us will have to do. But that work is on us.
That's right.
So get up, black man. Get up, black woman. Help the minister Farrakhan. Don't leave him out there alone. Don't leave him traveling the nation by himself. Don't leave him speaking morning, noon, and night. Don't leave him on the radio, on television, on YouTube, on Facebook, on Twitter by himself. Defend your minister. He's a righteous man, a good man, a strong man, and he's the man of God in our midst today. And if you come near him, develop in your heart and a mind that if we try to harm any of us, certainly the minister, but any Muslim, we'll kill a brick, toe, a stick, and drown a glass of water about the fellow members of the nation of Islam.
That's right.
Get straight and get right and handle your business and start tonight. That's what I would say.
Come on, Brother Jamil. All praise is due to Allah.
Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah. Okay, Brother Jamil, I'm going to leave you this to ponder on. We have a sister who wants to remain anonymous in Chicago, and she says, what do you think about black men in the nation putting us down for working in corporate America? But we have no husband, but I heard a brother tell me, but I've heard brothers say, and a brother has told me that I have lost my sense of self because I have been programmed by corporate America. But I have to survive. My children, my two children have to survive. Their father is unemployed, and we are now divorced. But I was made to feel as though I was wrong for taking care of my children.
Now, sister, a couple things, sister Aziza. First off, I'm not anonymous. Brother James not anonymous. Brother Kareem, sister Aziza, we not anonymous. But that's all right, sister. Ask the question from anonymity. But remember, this is a place where you can be yourself. I know you didn't ask that question in anonymity just
to be messing with folks. Your situation showed at the end why you would ask the question anonymously, but I want to let you know it's okay. Sister, if you work in corporate America, the answer is to keep working in corporate America and doing what you do.
That's right.
There's nothing wrong
That's
with
right.
you having a job. If you're the sole means of support for your children, then you support your children.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this ain't rocket science. Somebody tell
come
you,
on, brother,
you got a program, but you need to come over here and stay home from your job as an executive. Come on in the house and put this aluminum foil on this incense and put this oil in these bottles, and I'm about to go out on the street and sell this incense and oils, and we're going to make sure we might make $300 a week doing this.
Oh, hell no. Excuse my
okay.
name. Go ahead, Brother Jabir.
I think your mic is open, Brother Dan. But listen.
Oh,
listen,
sorry,
listen,
brother.
Listen to me, family. Listen, if you got a job, do what you do. Now, my family is one example, but I'm sure all the rest of your families are the same. Sister Jana, who is our regional captain in the Eastern Region and the captain of the MGT student captain of the MGT in New York City, she has a professional position on Wall Street, very highly respected in the financial industry. You don't know that. And she is a staunch believer in the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
That's right. That's
her
right.
Her husband is a world-renowned trainer in the arts, the martial arts of fighting.
That's right.
They have a great family. Their sons are teaching. They're ministers. They're strong. But she has
That's
a job.
That's right.
My daughter, one of them, is a doctor, a medical doctor. She practices in New York City. I got another daughter under her that lives in New York, and she's an executive with a public relations company. When I came to the minister about my concerns about their marriage, he said, son, hey, wait a minute. Don't worry. He said, look around the nation. He said, now, Camilla's a doctor. I said, yes, sir. He said, who's she going to marry around here, brother? I said, well, I don't know, sir. He said, brother, no. He said, we must produce men for our women and produce women for our men. The nation is in the product, but in the production stage. So, no, sister, go to work tomorrow, hold your head up high, represent the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Minister Farrakhan with dignity and honor in your place of business. And remember, there is no limitation on what a woman in Islam can do as long
That's
as she
right.
does not bring shame to her nation. This is what
That's
the Honorable
right.
Minister Louis Farrakhan teaches us. So, yeah, I got one that's a public relations executive, one that's a doctor. The daughter under her is a teacher. Yeah. They're coming up, and by Allah's grace, we're going to see this great advancement in our people's professional qualification, both men and women, because
That's right.
the minister has determined that I want what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad wanted. And what he said was, get busy, qualify yourself to help me build a nation
right.
for my people.
Come on.
That's all.
That's right.
Yes, sir. And, you know, I just want to tell her that, you know, I want to remind everyone that you make sure that you understand the teachings, especially if you're going to quote or cite the minister and the messenger, because if you have a person who has never been introduced to Islam, and you introduce them to Islam and you do it wrong and your approach is not, you know, in the best of manner, and you're not welcoming, but you're condemning and you're judging, you may have just lost someone, and you may have cost them their salvation because put a bad taste in someone's mouth. And you might have heard someone say something. You might have heard a particular point expressed, but if you don't know the root of where that expression came from, then explore, obtain the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding before you go out here and say something to someone who may be seeking truth and all they got was your misunderstanding.
Come on. Jesus.
So we have to be very, very careful of what we tell our people. The minister needs our help going out to get our people, but he does not need anyone who is misdelivering the message. So are you saying to judge or condemn our people? I saw a brother just the other day said something about a sister on Facebook. Sister was not half naked. Sister wasn't showing any flesh. She just didn't have her hair covered. She had her makeup on, but she was every name but a child of God. We have to stop that.
That's right.
We have to stop that. That is not acceptable, and our beloved minister has never, never represented himself like that. He has never degraded a woman in public, and I'm sure in private he hasn't either. We just don't do that. We have to be careful. Once you put a word out there, you can't take it back. So that's what I wanted to add. Brother Jamil?
Question, are you saying basically then that we should not be knuckleheads? Is that what you're telling us? Like,
that's
don't
right,
be a knucklehead.
Brother, yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead, brother.
All right, that's what it calls.
I'm saying that, and I'm also saying that we need to know the history of the Nation of Islam. We need to know the aim of the Nation of Islam, that we need to have love, compassion, and understanding in our hearts when we go out to our people. That's what we need to serve them. We are not in any moral position to judge or condemn anybody. We cannot forget that we have been down in the mud ourselves. Some of us have been drug addicts, prostitutes, pimps, players, hustlers, whatever, and that now we got some knowledge and some wisdom and some understanding and the blessing and grace of Allah. We cannot forget those who are still trying to pull themselves up. That's what I'm saying.
I just want to ask a question.
Brother James, I'm looking around my kitchen here. I can't seem to find it. Have you seen my diamond-studded drinking glass?
No.
Fine, looking. Wait, I can't. I'm looking for it when I'm all at this. Okay, well.
I don't know where that one is, Brother Jamil.
Okay,
but
okay,
when
brother,
I,
okay.
But if I find it, and you know me, brother, and you know us.
Yes.
It will be in my possession.
Hollywood. It's one that says Hollywood in diamonds wrapped around the side.
Yes, sir. So, go ahead, brother.
Okay. All right.
Okay, you all. Okay, so listen, let me, Brother Jamil, thank you so very much. So now I get the opportunity to put you on the spot, Brother Jamil. So you are coming back next week. Am I correct?
Oh, no, indeed, no. I ain't coming back no more. Yeah, yes, ma'am.
Man, you must. Come on,
brother. Whatever you say.
I think I can make the official announcement that Brother Jamil has joined the network, and he will be hosting our show on Sunday. All praises due to Allah. So welcome back. There ain't no welcome to. Welcome back to Nation Building Radio. Because if you all remember in those early, early, early days when we first started, Brother Jamil was on board. He was right there, one of the administrators of the group, and he would participate on a regular basis. But it's such a blessing to be able to hear from you on a regular basis again, dear brother. So thank you and welcome home. And let me give the lineup right quick. Brother Kareem, 8 p.m. Central tomorrow, the fall of America. I remember this time, Brother Kareem. And on Tuesday, 7 p.m., with Brother Rudolph T. Muhammad out of New York and Sister Lachelle Muhammad out of Detroit as they discuss disaster preparedness. Wednesday, 7 p.m., DJ Caesar and Friends with our hip-hop comedy show. On Thursday, I'll be right back here, 8 p.m., with Courtship Out of Control. We're talking about videos, pictures, and social media. And on Friday, Student Minister James Muhammad is going to bless us with us. He said with a special guest, but with our live study group, put on the new man, 8 p.m. on Friday night. Next Saturday, if you missed last night's show, wow, you missed a treat. So much so that I have to do a part two by popular demand. We had Houston police officer James Smokey Phillips, good friend of mine, on, and we had Brother Kadeem on from Pensacola, Florida, and, of course, Brother Kareem was there, Student Minister Andre. Beautiful topic of discussion about black youth and law enforcement. Smokey is going to come back and expound further on how we can improve our relations with the police officers in our communities. We have to get involved. So come and tune in part two of that. And if possible, bring your young men and young women so they can learn how to protect themselves and learn what not to do so that they can decrease the encounters they may have with police officers. And, of course, next Sunday, 6:30 p.m., we'll be right back here with Brother Jamil and what must be done. So may Allah continue to bless us all. Thank you, Brother James.
Thank you, Brother Kareem.
An original salute to you, Brother Jamil. We love you. We thank you.
That's the listening
audience, those of you in the chat room, I will continue to answer some of your questions. Those of you who joined us on the line, thank you. And thank you especially to the BYC who all came out with Brother Jihad and joined us in the listening audience. May Allah continue to bless us all as we leave you, as we came before you, in our nation's greeting words of peace. As-salamu alaykum. One nation, one love. Good night, y'all.
Good night, Queen. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Kareem, Brother Jamil. Assalamu alaikum. I love y'all, man.
Love you too, brother.